Unlocking the Power of Grace. It's a teaching that's going to bless you because I believe that grace is one of the most undervalued familiar principles in Christianity. Now, most of us are familiar with the fact that forgiveness comes by grace and that we're saved by grace. But I think that's where most teaching actually leaves off on the topic. And grace goes so much deeper than that. Did you know that in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, it actually says that Jesus needed grace for his earthly ministry and that he grew in grace? Now, I think most people find that pretty interesting because, again, we are most familiar with grace being a vehicle for forgiveness. But I think it's the other components of grace, this empowering principle of grace that was on Jesus' life. That's what we want to focus on today, because I believe with all my heart that probably the number one reason why a lot of Christians get stuck in sin and they continue to walk in sin day after day, month after month, year after year, and why most Christians don't walk in the fullness of all that God has for them is because we really lack a full understanding of what grace actually is, what grace has purchased for us from God's perspective, and how to apply it to our lives. So it's that we're going to focus on today, unlocking the power of grace for real victory over sin, real heart change, and the ability to walk in your call with all the fullness that God has for you. So with that in mind, I'm going to just open us up in prayer, and if you want to take a minute at home just to prepare your heart for whatever God wants to do in you, I think it's always a great idea. So my prayer for you this morning is this, that God would grant, according to his grace and according to his mercy, the ability, yes, for me to teach, but the ability for all those who hear this message, that their eyes would be opened, that their ears would be able to hear, and that their hearts would perceive all that God has for them in his grace today. So let this grace now wash over us in this time, and let it be a blessing to you. So we said that grace is somewhat of a familiar concept in Christianity, but I think only at a surface level. I grew up with more of the Baptist teachings, and we never really had any sermons on grace because it was always so familiar that it was almost like we didn't need to teach on it. There were the cliche expressions like, now mercy is when you get, you don't get what you deserve, and grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. And everybody goes, oh, that sounds so catchy. I'm going to write that down in my Bible, because now I've got the answer. Oh, that's what grace must be. I have the definition of grace for you. Grace is unmerited favor, and that's good and all. And I actually agree with that definition. But at the same time, I think it's such a low value of it that it's kind of like saying that the ocean is moist. It's a grotesque under-exaggeration of what the depth of the ocean actually is. And so to say that grace is just unmerited favor and to leave it at that as a definition doesn't even begin to plumb the depths of how vast God's grace is, how deep God's grace is, how unsearchable it is, and how completely teeming with life the grace of God actually is. Grace, I would put out this definition to you, that grace is the very conduit of heaven through which all heavenly blessings come to an undeserving believer or to an undeserving fallen race. Let me read a few things out of the scriptures. This is a list of everything that the Bible, this is not a comprehensive list, I'll probably post a comprehensive list on the website, but this is just to get your attention, some of the things that you can look up that it says comes by grace. Grace gives us 1 Corinthians 16:23, the power to work diligently. Romans 16:20, the power to crush Satan. Acts 20:32, our inheritance in God comes by grace. The ability to obey God's word. Romans 1:5, obedience comes by grace. Romans 3:24, justification comes by grace. Romans 4:16, all the promises of Abraham come to us by grace. Romans 11:5, our election to our heavenly call comes by grace. Romans 12:6, 1 Peter 4:10, every single gift of the Holy Spirit comes by grace according to the measure of grace that we've been given. How many of you watching would like a bigger measure of grace? Just like Jesus grew in grace, so we also can grow in grace. And we do that as we start to understand what grace actually has for us and what Christ has purchased through his grace for us. We get boldness through grace, joy in the midst of trial by grace, the ability to speak according to knowledge, faith, diligence, and love. It's that 2 Corinthians 8:7. I really enjoy this one, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Grace, all grace for all sufficiency in all things and in abundance for every good work. So how about that? Grace gives us all sufficiency in all things. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, grace gives us our sufficiency despite our own sins and weaknesses. We're sufficient in Christ's grace. We all know that we get salvation through grace, but here's one more that I just enjoy. This is John 1:16. It says that through Christ we have received grace for grace. And I like that one because we are so undeserving of God's grace that we actually needed grace to even begin to receive a greater measure of God's grace. So, in light of the fact that all of these things the Bible teaches us come by grace, this causes us to have to step back and say, wow, God, grace is possibly a little bit bigger than we've always been taught in Sunday school, and grace is possibly a little bit more deep than just getting what we don't deserve. Grace is the very core essential conduit of heaven by which every heavenly blessing, as we've just read, comes to a believer. In our workshops, I like to put it, I've got a picture of an astronaut. He's doing his spacewalk. And so here he is, he's in his suit, and there's this big long hose that's connecting him to his ship. And every means of life support that that astronaut is receiving is coming through that hose to him. Otherwise, he would die instantly in this hostile environment of space. And I like that analogy, because here we are, beings created in Christ's image, in a hostile environment, in a condition where we are falling from grace. And so every single spiritual blessing that comes from heaven to earth comes via God's grace, not because of anything that we've done to merit it, but because of what Christ has done to purchase it back for us. And just like that astronaut, if we were to sever that connection to God's grace, we would be utterly lost without a single thing that we need for our life, or for our ministry, or for our calling. And so we understand that the depths of grace is that this has purchased for us basically everything that we need in life. So now the question becomes, how, John, do we start to appropriate this so that we can see grace work for our victory over sins and for our victory in our calling? I'd like to, if you've got a Bible at home, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want to start reading a couple verses, starting in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. For no temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, brethren, flee from idolatry. Okay. Let's unpack this a little bit. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I like this because at the foot of grace, we all have even footing before God. Him who thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he falls. Okay, now get this. You know, I've heard some preachers that talk about some of the things that we deal with in our ministry. And there's this air of condemnation towards people that are still walking in them. They have this mentality that says, I got over this, therefore I can look down my nose at people who are still dealing with it. There's a pride aspect to it. They think they stand, But it says, if you think you're standing in any area of your life, take heed lest you fall, because there's no temptation except that which is common to man. Okay, let me say this to you, rather unapologetically. No person has any right to look at somebody else who's fallen in an area and say, I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad that wasn't me. Look at so-and-so, they're really stuck in that. Look at so-and-so, they're really dealing with that. And we like to do that because it makes us feel like we're getting this Christian thing down a little bit better. But in reality, the scriptures say, God, who is faithful, won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. Now, get this, and get it good. Because if, understand this, if God is able to keep you from temptations that are too great for you to bear, then it goes to logically reason that there do exist temptations that are greater than you can bear. And it's God, as an act of his sovereign grace, who keeps them from you. I think of the book of Job. Satan's number one beef with God when he goes before him to start to accuse Job is Satan says, haven't you put this hedge of protection around him so that I can't do to Job all the stuff that I would like to do to Job? And he says, if I were able to do that, I guarantee you I could make him completely mess up. So there was a protection around Job that kept the full access of the devil from him. I think also of Peter. Peter is talking with Christ, and Jesus says to him, Peter, the devil has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And so just like the devil had to ask permission in order to sift Job, we see the same thing with Peter, where Jesus is warning him. He says, Peter, the devil has asked for you to sift you, but I'm praying that your faith won't fail. And so we look at this passage in 1 Corinthians, and we get the same understanding that God has in his sovereign grace allowed us this bubble of protection called grace, by which we are not being tempted beyond what we were able to bear. Because I've got news for you that if God were to take away this divine protection, and if all the forces of hell were able to have full access to you and to buffet you in whatever way they saw fit, there is not a man, there is not a woman, there is not a child on the planet who would be able to withstand all the forces of hell coming against them without the aid of God's grace and without the aid of his protection. We have an overinflated opinion of ourselves if we actually think that we aren't susceptible to messing up in the same way that Jim did over there or the same way that Sally did over there. We just have a different measure of grace upon our lives, and we can thank God that we didn't receive a temptation that was more than we can bear. And now I like how Paul wraps up this thought. He says, therefore, you know, and whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, they say, you should ask what it's there for. So he says, therefore, brethren, flee from idolatry. That's verse 14 that we just read. So he starts out with this. He says, take heed, anybody who stands, who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Therefore, flee from idolatry. What is the idol that Paul is talking about? What do you think is the idol that Paul is talking about? If anyone thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he fall. Paul is talking about an idol of perfect you, of potential future perfect you. The you that doesn't need grace, that doesn't need this protection. He says, flee from this type of idolatry. Now, how do we know that this is what he's talking about? And I'm sure that there's a lot of people who think, boy, I sure am glad that I don't deal with that. Well, let me ask you some questions. These are questions that I like to throw out in our workshops. Have you ever just messed up with a sin and gone and beat yourself up afterward? God, I can't believe I did that. I'm such a jerk. I'm such a scum. I'm the scum that scum wipes off their feet. I'm never going to do that again. And so we just berate ourselves and beat ourselves up over the sins that we've committed. Have any of you watching ever felt like you were too dirty immediately after you sinned to run to God? Have you ever felt like your intimacy with God suffers because of your sin? Or have you ever felt like you were unqualified for your calling or for works of service towards God because you just blew it with sin? Well, I got news for you. Just like beating yourself up, all of these are indicators that you are looking to your own strength instead of the grace of God. If you are disappointed in you when you fail, it was your strength that you were counting on for your salvation. Let me say that again. If you are disappointed in you when you've messed up, it was your strength you were counting on. Let that one sink in for a minute. Because take heed. If anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. If you've got these things, if you've answered yes to any of those questions, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there is an issue of self-reliance in your heart and self-idolatry that is not totally sold out to Christ. Because in grace, we can say right after we've messed up, hallelujah. My position before God didn't change. He doesn't love me any less. He doesn't accept me any less. I'm no more or more, no less qualified for ministry because all of my qualification comes from God. I'm no more or less accepted before the throne of God because all of my acceptance comes from Christ. And so this is the state of grace in which we stand. And any of those other attitudes that you might have had, any of those questions where you beat yourself up over sin, or you felt like you're not worthy of your calling, or you felt like you just want to wait before you run to God, the scriptures say in Hebrews 4, it says we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all ways was tempted just as we are, yet was without sin. And therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to receive that help in time of need. And so we understand that we are weak and we are unable, but by the grace of God, to resist our temptations. We are unable, but by the grace of God, to walk in our heavenly calling. We are unqualified. We are unequipped. And so the focus has to change. When we're messing up with sins over and over, when we're not growing in our calling, the word is not try harder. The word is get the grace for today. Get the grace for your ministry, get the grace for your calling and the grace and the empowerment for change that's going to allow you to take that quantum leap that goes where your flesh cannot, because you are only going to be as faithful as your feelings otherwise, and you will be tossed to and fro from each side until you learn to rest fully in the grace that is on your life, and until you are really there where you can mess up and run boldly to that throne of grace immediately thereafter, there will still be self-reliance and self-idolatry in your heart. You know, and I love the story of Peter that we talked about earlier. Jesus says, Peter, the devil's asked for you. He wants to sift you as wheat. You know, grace didn't mean that temptations won't come. And I've got a word for you, people. A lot of people who are dealing with temptations and struggling with sin, they're waiting for the temptation to go away and somehow to be miraculously delivered from it. And the Bible doesn't say that grace will take away your temptations, but he does say that God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. And he does say that in the midst of this temptation, he will give you the means of escape. And so to the person who is being tempted, who is trusting in God's grace, you need to be looking for that means of escape. Because sometimes what comes to us from that heavenly lifeline of grace is the strength, the strengthening of the inner man, that we might be conformed to Christ's likeness, who was tempted in all ways, just as we are being tempted. But he wants to strengthen you, not completely remove the thing tempting you. If all temptation were removed, you would stay a weak Christian for the rest of your life. But through the empowerment of grace, God is able to shape you into the person that he's called you to be, so that you can fulfill your heavenly calling by the grace that's been upon your life. Grace of God equips us for what God has for us in the future. And I think about Peter, and I think about his response, and Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, and the devil is going to sift you like wheat. And Peter stirs himself up, and he says, not me, God. No way. I am not going to deny you. I will fight to the death for you. I would gladly give my life in exchange for you. Where's my sword? I'll cut off this Roman's ear for you. And all of that was only as powerful as Peter's own will, because Satan had asked for him and God didn't say no. There was a level of temptation that was going to be allowed into Peter's life, and the purpose of it wasn't so that Peter would fail, but it was so that Peter would learn that his strength is only going to get him so far, and it's going to be grace. And Peter fell so far that he even went back to fishing after Christ died. When Christ was risen from the dead, after Peter had denied him and fallen away from his faith, Jesus says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter didn't even count himself among the disciples at that point. So great was his fall, because so great was his reliance on his own strength. But the grace of God is this, that Peter learned the limitations of his own strength, and then he learned to trust in the power of grace. And he writes to us in 1 Peter, and James 4:6 is also a very similar verse. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in Peter's account, 1 Peter, he says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. You see, Peter learned that in the utter fall that he had, that there was a greater truth. If Christ had given him that word and said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, you're going to be sifted like wheat, and I pray that your faith won't fail, I wonder how it would have changed if Peter hadn't said, not me, Lord, but rather he had fallen on his face before God and said, God, give me the grace that I shouldn't be tempted beyond what I can bear today. He would have opened up a channel, a heavenly channel of grace, just like that astronaut on the spacewalk, so that the very life-giving energies of heaven could have reached out to him in that time, and perhaps he would have passed those tests a little bit better. But what happened instead was that God worked all things for good in Peter's life. And even though he was tempted, and even though he failed, and he even denied his Savior, what happened next? He learned the lesson of grace. Peter at one point said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, that's the rock that I'm going to build my church on. That's the rock that's really in you, Peter. When you are relying on nothing except for the Messiahship of Jesus Christ and his strength and his grace, it turned Peter into a world changer. And that is what grace can do for each one of us. You're probably listening because you've messed up time and time again. We deal with this in our ministry every single day. Men who come broken, who have messed up every single day, who just can't see a way out. And they've been trying it on their own power. They've been waiting for God to deliver them completely so that they aren't tempted anymore. But what they need is to be empowered by grace and to come to that point where they can say definitively, I can't do this on my own. I need all of God and none of me. And that is where Peter got to. And this is the Peter that was then escalated to a position where he could begin to influence the world for the gospel, because he had learned that his strength was utterly insufficient when it came to the temptations that the devil had for him. The Bible says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter said, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You've got to get this. Peter writes this, and it rings so true with him, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you are still of that mindset where you're beating yourself up over sin, where you're counting on your own strength, where you're not looking for grace and grace alone, that pride will actually become a wall of opposition to the point where God cannot set you free from that sin. Because if he were to do so, it would reinforce those bad thoughts, those purely idolatrous thoughts. And what would happen is it would create a monster in you that is 10 times worse than you ever have been struggling with your sin. It would create the Pharisee of Pharisees in your heart that would literally cut you off from future grace, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so you can say, if you've cried out over and over, God, deliver me from this, and you haven't seen the victory, you can just step back and say, God, thank you that you didn't deliver me while I was still struggling with self-idolatry and issues of grace. Thank you, God, that you said you can come this far but no further until it's only about grace. Because then, when you come to that point and you begin to receive that grace of God, that empowering grace of God upon your life, it will rocket you into what God has for you in the future. And you can become a life changer, a world changer, like Peter was when he learned that it wasn't by his strength, it wasn't by trying harder, it wasn't by how he felt or how much zeal he had when he stirred himself up. It was by the grace of God that he is going to overcome. And it's by the grace of God that he's going to go day by day. And I've got news for you. There's not going to come a period of time when you can say to yourself, I got this figured out. You know, I come across that a lot with people in, when they ask me, well, you know, John, how did you break free? Well, it's by grace. And if I allow myself to go there in pride and say, yes, I have become the victor, and I no longer need grace because the victory is mine, I've just opened up that door of pride that's going to give the devil access back in. And so it's by grace every day that I wake up and I say, Lord God, give me the grace today that I should not be tempted beyond what I can bear. Give me the grace today to walk in my calling. I love Paul, because Paul is another one of these who persecuted Christians. And then, over and over, when he's referring to himself and his ministry, he says, I'm called to preach according to the grace that's been given to me. A minister by grace, of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, over and over, I won't even read off all the times that he says it, because it's in every book that he writes numerous times. Paul understood that everything that he had was according to the grace of God on his life. And so the ability to walk in your calling, the spiritual gifts that you have are by grace, and you need greater measure of grace, like the Bible says in 1 Peter and in 1 Corinthians, in order to have a more full calling and gifting on your life. So it's by this grace and not by pride that every day we say, God, give me the grace for what I'm supposed to do today, and give me the grace that I shouldn't be tempted beyond what I can bear. And here's something key for you. The Bible says that in God's sovereign faithfulness, it says that in the midst of temptation, he provides the way of escape. And it might not be the same tomorrow that it was today, because he wants to draw you into relationship with himself. And so that is why we need a continuous give and take of our relationship with God. But make no mistake about it, when we're in the midst of temptation and we say, God, how do I beat this one today? It's that lifeline of grace, and the answer comes by grace. And according to the empowering of that grace, you will walk in victory day by day by day. And it's only when we walk in pride that God has to say, I need to resist that. And you've just opened up a door, once again, to see just how effective your own self-reliance can be. And I got news for you. It's not that effective. It's only a matter of time till the devil gets his foothold back in. And so it's by grace that we need to sit back and cry out every day of our lives, Lord God, let me walk in this. In this empowering of grace. And if you do that, brothers, if you do that, sisters, you will have a new anointing, not only for victory over sin, but a new anointing in your ministry that won't be dependent upon how you feel, and will give all the glory that is deserving to God, because you will understand that there was none of it that you brought to the table. The Bible says that even our most righteous deeds are as filthy rags before God. So I've got news for you. If you get over whatever sin you're struggling with today, you aren't going to find that you've made it to that idol of perfected you. You're just going to find yourself face to face with a holy God, and in his light you're going to realize even my most righteous deed was riddled with self-interest, was riddled at its core to pride. And if you talk to any person who you respect spiritually, they will say the more they got to know God, the more sinful they realized they actually were. You're not going to get to a point after you're done with this sin that you're struggling with now. You're not going to be able to say, whew, all right, I made it through. I'm pretty good now. No, the more you get to know God, the more you see yourself in his light, and the more you can relate to what Paul says, where he says, I am the chief of sinners. He wasn't even talking about when he was persecuting Christians anymore. He had a glimpse of who he was in the light of God. And so don't think that when you have the empowerment to get through sin today and tomorrow, and you find that you've been walking in victory over this temptation, don't think that you're going to be perfect. You are going to need grace tomorrow, every bit as much as you needed grace today. That's just the way we are. We are sinners saved by grace, and we are saved daily by grace. And if by the grace of God, we do move on to maturity in one area of our lives, and I think that most of us can agree that we have come through things, but that didn't make us perfect yet. We're never going to be perfected just as Christ was. He is continuously working in us. Only when we see him will we be like him, when we see him like he truly is. And so we have this continuous working of grace in our lives every day. And it's beautiful because it gives us confidence to boldly come before the throne to find intimacy and grace to help in time of need. This is the empowerment of grace. This is our lifeline whereby all of heaven's realities, all the spiritual gifts, they come to us. And they come to us in greater measure when we are understanding they come by grace because we're removing from the equation our sinful attitudes that think that somehow we've deserved it. No, Christians, we don't deserve any of the gifts. They are by grace alone, because even our most righteous deeds are as filthy rags. Every blessing that you have in your life is because of the grace of God on our lives. And we need the grace that we shouldn't walk in sin and miss the things that we do have that are coming to us in Christ Jesus. So that is how we practically walk out the empowerment of grace in our lives. We're going to close with some words of prayer. And I think that sometimes you might need to pause this just to let the Holy Spirit have his work in your heart. But I want to lead you in some simple prayers. But let me tell you, if God is touching one of them, don't think you got to jump right into the next prayer. Take the time for the Holy Spirit to minister heart change to you over these things. And so if you can, if you have seen a new side of grace today, if you have been able to say, yes, I have beat myself up after sins, if you've been able to say, yes, I have felt like I need to wait before I run to that throne, I need to clean up my act, if you've felt less lovely before God because of your sins, and you know that you've got some of these idols in your life because of it, if you know that you've been disappointed in you when you fell, and you can see that it was your strength you've been relying on so much of the time, then let's pray and get rid of some of that stuff right now by the grace of God. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I can see, and you've opened my eyes to know, that I've had some self-reliance, that I've had idolatry, that I wanted to be able to clean myself up before you so that I could bring you something valuable, but I can't give you anything that makes you say, wow. It's all by you, Lord God. And so I repent now for trying to clean up my own act. I repent now for my pride in judging others. I repent now for relying on my own strength, my own zeal. I repent now for thinking that somehow I have earned any of the gifts that you might have given to me. And Lord, I give you all the glory now in grace. And I say, Jesus, come and change my heart. Jesus, give me the grace not to be tempted beyond what I can bear. Give me the grace that I should see your means of escape and the way that you are empowering me, day by day, situation by situation. Jesus, give me the grace to walk in my calling, because it's my calling by your grace, not by my works. I am your workmanship, created in you for works that you prepared beforehand. I can't take credit for any of them, but I want to walk in them by your grace. Let me not lose sight of the fact that I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I just want to thank you that, like Peter, I can move forward. I've seen how far my strength has gotten me, and it hasn't gotten me that far. But in your grace, I have a rock that I can become a world changer with. So, Lord God, let me move in that grace every day of my life, and let me give all the praise and the glory to you. It's in your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, that's the first part of one of our workshops on grace. I encourage you, if you enjoyed this sermon, go to our site. It's mightymanmanual.com. Our ministry deals with a lot of the issues that men face, specifically lust, pornography addictions, sexual addictions, things like that. Believe it or not, these things are affecting more than 60% of Christian men in churches today. And so we've got a book, The Mighty Man Manual. It's a great resource. We talk about grace. You can learn more in there probably than you can from listening to me yap about it for an hour. And there's so much more. We're going to do another workshop, probably posted on our site. That one's our love workshop, because I think that love is the other number one reason why most people never get out of some of the struggles that they have, because they don't know how to receive the love of God toward them and to appropriate it, and how to love themselves according to that. So much of what God has for us only comes by love. And so that lesson's in the book. We'll probably post that workshop, because grace and love, they're the two biggies that we find most people have the greatest heart change. But more than that, if you or somebody that you know could benefit from this book, you can find it up on our website. You can also download an ebook version of it. I encourage you to do it, because there's so much more to this than grace and love. We have chapter after chapter on tactics on how to deal with temptations as they arise. But more importantly, there's a whole section of this book that deals just with heart change. And when your heart is changed in Christ, you find real freedom for the things that have been pressing you down. If you're new to this, we try to keep this sermon pretty generic so that it applies to everything. But if the sermon has blessed you, and if God has worked some heart change in you and opened your eyes, we would love for you to go to our website and also donate to our ministry. We thank you for it. I think we're doing a great work. And so every little bit helps, and you can help us to reach more men and more churches with this ministry of grace and God's love and victory from the sins and oppressions that are keeping a lot of Christianity down. So I hope you'll check it out. Mighty Man Manual is the book. www.mightymanmanual.com is the website. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, and I really hope that the Holy Spirit has blessed every word that you've heard today. So thank you once again. Until next time, this is John Snyder.